Amen. All right. I was going to say turn to Luke 15, but I don't think there's anything left there. If you're a member of Bible Baptist Church, I believe our pastor has preached 7 messages out of that, and which has been fantastic. And so, but we're going to go to Titus tonight, the book of Titus, and chapter 1, and give you just a little thought the Lord has given us. And when you preach new messages in this kind of atmosphere, makes you a little bit more nervous. That's one good thing about evangelism. You get to preach some of your same messages every place you go, and you kind of memorize them. And so I'm going to be sticking closer to my notes today. And I see why pastors stay more closer to the pulpit, because every Sunday they're preaching a new message. And so you pray for us, the Lord would help us. And boy, I appreciate the good preaching. I was thinking of Brother Jones. The Lord used him back in 1996. I was praying about the will of God for my life, and I was at a camp meeting, and he preached on the will of God, and God gave me the answer during that message, and I went to the altar and prayed and settled it with God, and I just appreciate the man of God obeying God. You never know what God's doing and what he wants to do in every message, and you know, every message has something for everybody. It may be just a thought, it may be just a phrase, it may be a sentence. But God has something in every message for every individual, and I'm grateful for that. Well, Titus chapter 1, I just want to brag on Jesus a little bit tonight. And Titus chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Bible said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Don't you like preaching? Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. You'll find the word Savior in the book of Titus 6 times. And if God would be my helper tonight, I want to preach on the Savior in the book of Titus. The Savior in the book of Titus. Now, let me just give a by the way of introduction. We see in chapter 1 that salvation is promised, coupled with godliness. He said in verse 2, in hope of eternal life. I'm glad, thank God, tonight I have a hope of eternal life. I don't worry about it when I go to bed at night. If I die, where am I headed? I know where I'm headed. Thank God because of salvation. And because salvation does produce godliness in our life. Amen. Jesus on the inside starts working on the outside. Then chapter 2 of Titus is salvation is presented and coupled with grace. He said in chapter 2 verse 11 that grace hath appeared to all men. Now I still believe that all just means all. I'm glad red and yellow, black and white, they're still precious in his sight. Calvinism is beginning to grow in our day, and I think it's because men are lazy and they do not want to go and give the gospel. You and I have an obligation tonight to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I've done more in this year than I've ever have of making more effort to be a witness when I get on the elevator, if I'm at the gas station, wherever I am, to give out the gospel. Thank God we got a story to tell. What a great story we have to tell. Thank God, Brother Brad, salvation delivers men from hell. And thank God, I'm glad somebody told me that story. I'm glad somebody gave me an opportunity. And thank God, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. Amen. We find that it is coupled with grace. And then chapter 3 is salvation is possessed coupled with mercy. He said in chapter 3 and verse 5, it is his mercy and not our righteousness. Can I say, you're not going to get to heaven tonight by anything you do. You know, it's amazing we believe that, but we live like we're somebody. You know what? We are nothing. That's what the Bible said. We are nothing. I guarantee you, friend, when I make it on the other side, whether I go by the way of the clods or the way of the clouds, but either way I go, and when I get there, praise God, I'm going to say, I made it here by the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing good that Bobby Barnes ever done. I'm telling you, thank God if it hadn't been for the Son of God, you and I'd be on our road to hell. I'm grateful tonight for what he done in saving my soul, in saving your soul. What a blessing to be saved tonight. I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad, thank God, the grace of God that it has appeared. Oh, man, I'm glad it appeared to me. Hallelujah. I'm feeling pretty good about now. Amen. Hallelujah. We find here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, we see the commandment of God our Savior. That we see, number one, is the purpose of Paul's ministry was to manifest Christ. You know what? A lot of people say, oh, just preach the gospel, and I believe you ought to do that. But you know what? When you're preaching against sin and you catalog it and you name it, you know you're still manifesting Christ. You know how? Because you're using him as the measuring stick of what we ought to live like and to be like. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I tell you what, you know what we like to do? Compare ourselves among ourselves. And we'll always try to find somebody that we feel like is not as good as we. I tell you what we ought to do, compare ourselves to him, and then we'll crawl to the altar and beg God for mercy. Amen. We see the purpose. We see the promise matter of salvation in verse 2. He said he promised before the world began. Hallelujah. You know what? Calvary did not catch God by surprise. Brother Sam, before he ever laid the mud seals to this old earth, he knew what was going to have to happen. He knew he's going to have to give his son for mankind. I'm telling you, the best you've got to offer him is filthy rags. There's nothing good about you. There's nothing good about me. Thank God. I'm glad he didn't save me because of what I was worth. He wouldn't have saved me, but he saved me because he loved me. Hallelujah. Not because I was going to be somebody for him, but thank God he knew I was lost and going to hell. And he reached down further than I could reach up. And he said, I love you. I'm going to save you. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord saved me. And he loves me in spite of me. I'm glad he loves you in spite of you. You may think it's because of you, but I'm telling you, it's because of him, because he loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen. We see in verse 3, the preaching, the message of salvation. Paul said it's committed unto him. You know, there is no greater story to tell than about him. You know, they say, well, man, that fellow preaches about Jesus all the time. Boy, that's pretty good to have to say about you. Amen. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel. I'm not afraid to preach about the Son of God. Matter of fact, I love it. Hallelujah. I love him. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. How he saved me and changed my life. I like to talk about it. I like to brag about it. I like to lift him up. He said if he'd be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto him. It's about him. It ain't about you and me. It's about him. Amen. Some preachers need to figure that out, amen. Oh, yes. We see number two, not only the commandment of God our Savior, but in verse 4, we see the consideration of God our Savior. We find, first of all, the blessing of grace. We're saved by grace, not by works. We're sustained by grace and not by our strength. I like what one fellow said. He said it better than I could, so I wrote it down. He said, grace is God taking upon himself the responsibility of our sin and its gift.
guilt and punishment for all of time and eternity. I say thank God for the blessing of grace. Only God can take an old dirty rotten sinner, his black heart, wash it, thank God, in red blood and make it white as snow. Only God can do that. If you knew my dad, you could never picture in your mind what my dad used to be. You know why? Because of what grace did. Oh yes, I tell you what it did. Thank God, Brother Brad, it changed him. Oh, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Hallelujah. I say amen. That's what grace does. Grace will change your life. It'll make a new creature out of you. Thank God. Hallelujah for grace. I'm glad that grace hath appeared unto all men. Amen. The blessing of grace. Can I say the blessing of mercy in verse 4? That is not giving us what we do deserve. You know, I'll be honest with you. Been saved almost 54 years. I've done enough Brother Samson's have been saved go to hell for. But I don't have to go. You know what that is? That's mercy. Matter of fact, I couldn't go because the blood's been applied. Thank God for mercy. Oh, how many times, Brother Laddie, that I've ran to him. I said, I did it again. I failed you again. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And he wrapped them arms of mercy around me and said, oh, yes, I love you. I'll forgive you. I'm telling you, the longer you serve him, the more you appreciate the mercy and the grace of God, because none of us have been sitting here that hadn't failed him over and over and over. But God extended mercy to you and me. Amen. Amen. The blessing of mercy. The blessing of peace. Peace is the outcome of the operation of grace and mercy in our hearts. It produces rest and satisfaction to the soul. You know, there's one thing in common. The 45 churches I go to every year, Baptists are always look like they're so down. They have no joy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of God's green earth. Amen. We know where we're headed. We know how it all ends. Thank God. We ought to have joy. But Steve, it's good to be saved. It's good to serve God. There ought to be joy in our heart. Amen. Consideration of God our Savior. Then can I say at number 3 in chapter 2 and verse 10, we see the creed of God our Savior. Here's what he said in verse 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that you may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Can I say number 1? When aged men are sober, they adorn the doctrine of God. The word sober there means circumspect. It means to be cautious. It means to be prudent. It means to thoroughly consider the risk and consequences before acting or making decision. Can I say number 2? When aged women are sensible, in verse 3, they have sanctified behavior. Their speech is honest. Their spirit is in honor. Can I say, you see what happens? Thank God, the grace of God will adorn you and bring about some righteousness about your life. I tell you what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about our churches across the land that I'm preaching in are filling up with carnality. They're filling up with it. Tattoos all over the place. Long hair everywhere. I mean, they're filling up with carnality. Hey, there ought to be some things that adorn our life. Amen. That didn't preach in 50 years ago. It still works today. Amen. It's still right. Amen. When aged women are sensible, when young women are sincere, they adorn the doctrine of God. Verse 4 and 5, because of their attention is right. They have a sound mind. Their affection is right. They love their husband. They love their children. Their appetite is right. They're discreet. They have self-control. Their appearance is right. They're chaste and pure and clean. Then can I say number 4? When young men are sound, they adorn the doctrine of God. Verse 6 through 8, their doctrine is pure. Their dealings are pure. The word gravity means honesty. We see their dedication is pure. He said in sincerity. Their dialogue is pure. He said sound speech. You see, I'm telling you, the grace of God is what teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live godly and thank God presently in this evil world. Amen. That's how we're supposed to live. The doctrine of God ought to adorn our lives. But I see a lot less today than I used to see. The average church is so quiet and dead, and I'll tell you why. Because there's so much carnality. And the preachers are just tired of dealing with it, so they just let it go. They just let it go. They get tired of fighting. It's a fight to keep the church right. You know that? You don't know what the preachers go through behind the scenes, the pastors. The meetings I've been in with men and the phone calls they get and the circumstances they're working on. This one got mad and this one happened and this one's trying to push the boundaries over here. It's a fight. And a lot of men, you know what they say? Man, fool you on this. I'll just go ahead and coast. I'll keep my standards clean in my own life. I'll tell you what, I've met quite a few preachers that they're clean. But man, you look at their church and you think, what in the world? How come they're not preaching what they live themselves? If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for your flock. Amen? Oh, they may not like it. And you don't need to be mean or arrogant about it. But thank God you ought to rear back and preach that the doctrine ought to adorn their life as much as it does yours. Amen. If it's good for you, it's good for them. Amen. I want a pastor that has standards, and thank God we do. Amen. And we got one that's not afraid to preach it either. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Amen. We find number 4. We find in chapter 2 and verse 13, we see the coming of God our Savior. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say there is an anticipation? He said there is a looking. You know what that means? There's a wanting. I believe Brother Larry said last night in his testimony. He said, I am tired of this world. I am ready to get out. I tell you what I believe. I believe that happens the longer we're here and the older we get, the less of this world has an allurement for us. I'm a longing. I don't know why, but I've been thinking about my old daddy here lately. Oh, friend, I can't wait. After I've seen Jesus on a run and grab his neck and thank God and grab my mama on the other side and stroll up and down of the street of gold. I'm glad there's a better day coming. Thank God our Savior, he's a coming for us. It won't be long. Thank God that trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to get up first, and you and I that are alive and remain, we'll meet them in the air. I'm glad there's anticipation. Hallelujah.
Then there's the appearance. Me and Brother Samuel was talking before service about Israel and Iran and all that. He said, oh, it's so exciting. You know why? It's getting closer, friend. Brother Sam, wouldn't that be something? We all go to sleep tonight and that trumpet sound about midnight. We'd have a jubilee in the sky. Woo-wee. You talking about a meeting, friend?
Oh, I wonder tonight if there'd be any here be left behind. You'd show up here in the morning and there wouldn't be hardly anybody here. And you say, where did everybody go? Oh, I wouldn't be left behind, friend, if I didn't know that I didn't know. I'd get born again tonight. I'm telling you, I'm looking for him. I'm glad, thank God, the trumpet's going to sound. He's going to appear. Thank God he's coming after his children. I'm glad we've got a hope tonight. Thank God, Brother Avery, we got hope in him. He's on his way. Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, and I'm done, the clarity of God our Savior. Chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6. We see the revelation in chapter 3, verse 4. The revelation, he said, he revealed himself. That means to give light, to shine upon. I thank God for the time that he appeared to me. When he revealed himself to me. Brother Nathan, I was 8 years old. You've heard me tell it 100 times. Lived in a drunkard's home. My dad didn't know much about love. My mama tried to love us. She was away from God. Brother Brad, I'll never forget that first time I went, just 8 years old. I didn't know anything about God and conviction. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost. He said unto me, if you'll come, I'll give you a drink of water. I'll change your life. I began to weep, and my brothers and sisters went with me that day. And man, they were crying because I was crying. I didn't know what that was. But oh, he appeared to me, Brother Casey. He appeared to me. I didn't get saved that morning. I went back the next time, and he spoke to me again and said, if you'll come. But that third time, I went, and he appeared again in his mercy. He didn't have to, Brother Sam. He didn't have to keep her coming, but he kept her coming, and he said, if you'll come, I'll change your life. And can I tell you, he changed my life. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'm telling you, thank God, Brother Steve, I've been a sorry Christian a time or two in my life, but I've never been sorry that I've been a Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The revelation, then we see the revolution. We find in verse 5 that our works are excluded, not by our works. We find our washing is explained. The regeneration of the Holy Ghost, a spiritual renovation, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, and then our wickedness is expunged. Thank God our record's been clear, amen. That's just a little bit about the God, our Savior, in the book of Titus. Aren't you glad you know him? Oh, I'm glad I know him tonight. I wish that I would be 1/4 as faithful to him as he's been to me. He has never failed me. He has never let me down. You say, you don't have problems? Sure I do. But he's never, ever treated me wrong. Matter of fact, but Brownie's went out of the way to treat me good. He's went out of his way to treat me good. When he didn't have to, when I didn't deserve it, he said, I'm just going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to go out of my way to treat you good. Oh, what a God we have. What a Savior tonight. Thank you, preacher.